welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam, and a very warm welcome to our guest this morning, Mawlana Yahya Bamsab. Bamsab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning, Mawlana?
Shukr hai khudai paka. Mawlana, at the side, we're having beautiful sunshine, although coolish mornings, but shukr alhamdulillah. Always we are thankful to Allah for the great, wonderful, beautiful days that He's given us. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Allah shukr. Mawlana, we have been discussing the signs of Qiyamah, and inshallah al-Aziz, perhaps we just continue with that discussion this week.
Well, this week I got a few phone calls with regards to in between. We made a little diversion. We were talking about the Shias, and people were inquiring about the Shias, and it seems that it is something we need to inform the people more about before we carry on, because in that series with regards to Qiyamah, we have now reached the beginning of the Mahdi, and that is a complete sector on its own that we need to deal with. So before we go that side, since we touched and we spoke about, and I think people want to know more about Shiism, we touched this a little further, Mawlana.
Yes, we spoke about it last week as well, and alhamdulillah, this week Saturday around the country, inshallah, we'll be having a number of jalsas with regards to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and with regards to awareness concerning Shiism as well. And in fact, we've been having been receiving messages concerning this. If I can just go through this message, Balana, an opportunity to strengthen our link to the noble Sahaba of Rasulullah s.a.w. in Ahlul Bayt. Al Farooq Institute will be hosting a first ever national Sahaba radiallahu anhum jalsa, not to be missed. One weekend, 12 venues, 21 prolific speakers in Cape. On Sunday, 8th March, at the Grassy Park Masjid, Mufti A.K. Hussein and Ihsan Hendricks in Kuguletu, Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel and Sheikh Jamil Kobus in Stellenbosch, in Gauteng, in Mayfair, in Florida, Azadville, Nelspruit, Ermelo, then on Friday in Rustenburg, Kroonstad, in Ridgeway, and this is all of the places where the programs are going to be taking place, inshallah.
So that's very good, Mawlana. That should happen. What is happening, Mawlana, is that the Shia type of thinking, the Shia propaganda, is becoming common in the colleges and universities. So if we're having them in the masajid, we should have some programs in these colleges and varsities also, Mawlana. That's one. And the second matter is that, yes, the way they want to weaken the roots of Islam among the people is that they will first, in the Shia belief, first set of beliefs will be the weakening of the azmat of the Sahaba. Because that is what that is the way they're going to get to the bottom of this whole propaganda. You see, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started or the revelation came to him, then the person to start the false propaganda against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abdullah ibn Sabah. So we see that he was a person from the Jewish people, and that in Medina Islam was beginning. Nabi Karim Salsam came down after the Hijrah and he started teaching Islam to the people, and immediately the Jewish that were there settled well in control and thought of as the people of God, the people of the religion, they had an open confrontation to show the people, the Arab people there, that we are a better people than you. And when they saw that this final book and religion is coming to the Arabs through Muhammad, they started opposing. And this Abdullah ibn Saba and this the Munafiqeen, they formulated this wing of thinking which is later then known as the Shia or the Shia belief.
So that is the background of it. And Maulana, as far as the conflict concerning between the Shias and the Sunnis go, throughout history we have found that there has been numerous occasions where harm was caused to Muslims in Islam because of the sect.
Correct, Maulana. Now, the first thing that they denied, that they work in the propaganda against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the Shias in the earlier years very strongly propagated that the Quran that came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the full Quran, which is 40 suparas, 10 suparas with regards to the Ahlul Bayt and the Martaba of the Ahlul Bayt, and that that part the Imam has gone away with it into the cave. Another thing, Maulana, there are so many different beliefs of the Shia that you will get confused. Sometimes it is the one angle, sometimes there is another interpretation, because they have another very strong belief in the belief system, and that is the taqiyya. When a person does taqiyya in their way of reporting the taqiyya, let's call it their more beautiful way of putting it, will be that do the taqiyya against the Sunni in such a way that the Sunni cannot believe what we are saying. Sunni believes what we are saying while we doing the taqiyya. In our interpretation of taqiyya, it will be that taqiyya is lies, bringing about lies, and the first strongest part of the taqiyya will be that they believe that the Quran is not entirely the Quran that was revealed. And what had happened is in between 20, 30 years ago, when our ulama expressed this belief of theirs, then when Khomeini came in, the revolution took place. Thereafter, they took people from South Africa to Iran, and there they showed them in the masajid that we have the Quran that you have. It is exactly the same. Your ulama have lied to you. So the people that did go through, they had a inner feeling with regards to our ulama, that our ulama has lied to them. The Quran that they have is the Quran we have. While the truth is that the Quran that they have on the bookshelves in their hands is exactly the Quran that we have. But a further belief is that there are parts of the Quran that is not with them, it is with the Imam in the cave, and it will come back before Qiyamah. Maulana?
And these beliefs that they have, they are firmly embedded in their hearts and minds. Unfortunately, it leads to many people being misled as well.
Yeah. Now, we are only touching the tip of the iceberg. Moreover, there is many more matters that will need to be discussed to clarify what the different beliefs of the Shias are. But if you go into discussion with them, our ulama that have had debates with them, to clarify and to come to the truth. This is what actually happened. The discussion begins in the belief of the Quran, because the Quran is the word of Allah. That is where we start off. There are those of the Shia scholars that have said that our belief is not that. We believe that the Quran is the Quran. And then you refer them to their ulama, they will say that these are ulama of the past. We have now ulama that have taken a different route and a different standing. Among them, one is with regards to the Quran. And they will emphasize that they believe in the Quran. While the truth is that the innermost belief is that is incorrect. Then they go further. We have the belief with regards to the Sahaba. Again here, the first three Khulafa, they don't believe in the first three Khulafa. And there are some very arrogant and nasty words used with regards to the three of the Khulafa and the rest of the Khulafa, the rest of the Sahaba. Their belief is that there are very few Sahaba that remain proper Muslims, or else the rest of them had become murtad when Hazrat Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. And there is one narration with regards to this taqiyya. I heard from Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, wherein he says that when asked in a munazara, in a debate, with regards to these taqiyya type of items, and their level of taqiyya is this, that when Hazrat Jibreel came with the revelation which was supposed to have been given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made a mistake in giving that revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is asked, why did you then not stand up to protest against the revelation going to the incorrect person? Hazrat Ali did the taqiyya, and that is why he did not protest against this. And why did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then not reject the revelation, in that it was coming to the wrong person? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also did the taqiyya, and he allowed the revelation to come that way. Why then did Jibreel, if he gave it to the wrong person once, why did he then continue giving the revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Jibreel also did taqiyya. Allah, who is the sender, the revealer of this revelation, why did Allah then allow this revelation to continue going to Muhammad when it should have been going to Ali? Again, Allah did taqiyya. Now, if this is the level of the belief of taqiyya, where are you going to manage to debate with a nation and a people? And where are you going to begin, and where are you going to end? Mawlana, so that is with regards to their belief in taqiyya, in the Quran, in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Sayyidina Ali who did the taqiyya. And then the rest of the Sahaba were kafir, they were out of the fold. So where do we go, and what do you debate on? Then further, another very strong debate that they will have is that the Ahle Bayt, and with regards to the Ahle Bayt, the power that they give to the Ahle Bayt and the position that they give to the Ahle Bayt, especially the Imams in the Ahle Bayt, that they have the power equal to Hazrat Ali and Allah Ta'ala himself. So where do you, in which way, debate with such beliefs, Mawlana?
Yes, if a person is, or if anybody in doctrine is so far steeped in this aspect of taqiyya, then there's no point in communicating also what such people are in discussing issues, because whatever is discussed is just brushed under the carpet as something further in taqiyah, in hiding away the truth.
And the argument then continues. Now there are very good presentations and kitabs that have been written by ulama, and that have gone through discussions with them. And for example, Maulana Dorat from Lodium was called through here in the outskirts of Lanesia, and his presentation with regards to Shia belief was a very open one and a very good discussion. There are people that were in some way leaning in the name of the unity of Islam. Why divide Muslims? Readers of the Kalima, why call them a kafir? Let us first unify the Muslims as one ummah, and then sort out our differences after that. So in that way, there was a certain lot of people that were leaning on this. And when a program was arranged for Maulana Dora to come and clarify and present with regards to what Shia belief is, then there are many that made tawbah and opened their eyes. So, like we're having these programs in this weekend, I think that we could arrange for Maulana to go into certain communities in particular also, and talk there about what the beliefs should be, and open the beliefs of the Shia, so that the people can do the correct debates there and understand the true meanings there, Maulana.
Well, I'm speaking about the issue of Shiism. With all of this awareness being created, alhamdulillah, people are getting educated, and inshallah, we are hoping that people will be more careful about what they commit to and gain more knowledge and information about it before actually committing and before actually becoming part and parcel. It's not just a new club that you are joining, or not just a new movement, or it's not just something that is mainstream and that is in line with our beliefs. Even though you are following, or you think you are following, a movement, remember that that movement, while they may be supporting a common cause, but eventually it's going to lead you on an incorrect path. And this is what we need to understand, Maulana.
Correct, Maulana. Maulana, what happened is that with regards to the Shia belief, and with regards to what's happening Shia-related, and how it is slowly creeping in, is that initially people have a slight softer heart in the name of the unity of the Ummah, in the name of the Americans and the Kuffar and the British that are attacking Islam. Now, while we are being attacked from outside, why do we still continue with this petty little, that is what they will call it, petty little differences? So let's leave these differences. They are the reader of the Kalima, we stand together. And that is what the big call was when Khomeini came with his revolution. Today we see what the Shias are doing in Syria and in these places, how they are slaughtering the Sunnis. It's not a petty little difference. It's not a small difference. It's a huge difference. It is a question of Iman and Kufr. People that fall prey to this, thinking that it's a petty little difference and that it can be tolerated, like we have the four madhahib, Hanafi, Shafi, Malik and Hanbal. So if a person takes one madhab and give preference to another madhab, then it is something that is tolerable and acceptable. In Islam, there is nothing wrong with a person following any one of the four madhabs. So they will want to categorize Shiism as one, just one more madhab. While that is not correct, Maulana. That's not the truth. And then, our youth that are being learned in the universities and things, that then goes further, as I spoke about last week, that not only is it for a belief system, but for the entertainment and enjoyment of the free sexual life through this temporary marriages is one more area that our youth are going to. So, Maulana, we need to be very, very careful. And as I said last week, if a Shia can call Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman a kafir, if a Shia can rule them as the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, then how can we not call them kafirs? It's as simple as that, Maulana.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and Allah ta'ala protect our aqeedah and our belief, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our deen. Well, jazakumullah khairan for your time this week, and inshallah al-aziz, we will speak next week.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Shukran jazilan to Mawlana Yahya Baam. Shukran to you for listening as well. Shukran to my studio operator. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.